everybody. This is P. Norman Grant with another edition of The Grapefruit Agenda, spouting off from the treasure coast of Florida about today's propaganda, misinformation, disinformation, biased reporting, and anti-American expositions of all kinds. Why grapefruit? Because we're sour on liberalism and sweet on conservatism. And we got more grapefruits down here than Democrats, thank goodness, in Florida. Today's musings include systemic lawfare and social injustice. So right now on Center Street in Manhattan, they're having part of their lawfare portion of the day, the jailing of Donald Trump. This is what it's all about. They want the man in jail. It's not just to besmirch his name, but they want him actually in jail. And these people on the left can't wait to see him in an orange jumpsuit. Do they have orange jumpsuits in Manhattan? Center Street? Center Street is right down the street from New York University, NYU, where they have the Brennan Society, the Brennan Justice Society. Brennan Justice Society is an equal contributor to the justice systems of America and elsewhere around the globe because we have people like George Soros funding the John Brennan Center for Justice. So we have John Brennan's Justice Center up in the Village, and on 57th Street, we have the Open Society Foundation, George Soros's Open Society Foundation nearby. We could walk from Center Street if you get tired, if you can't get into the trial. Try going up to the Brennan Center for Justice at the NYU campus and see if anybody's doing any of the following. Here, this is from Copilot, by the way. Microsoft is now becoming AI. It's going to be your encyclopedia. Nobody will be able to buy an encyclopedia again because Microsoft has got something called Copilot. So if I ask the question, does the Open Society Foundation, I did, contribute to American justice systems? I didn't quite query it that way. Do they contribute to American injustice systems, might be? And yes, they do. Copilot says, the Open Society Foundations have made significant contributions to the American justice systems. Their efforts are focused on creating a more equitable, in quotes, grapefruiters, and fair, you know how fair goes, justice system by addressing issues such as mass incarceration. That's what we want to talk about. Do we want more people in jail who are black? No. Do we want more people in jail who have blonde hair? Yes. Do they want the orange man who may be 3 pounds overweight? I saw him personally, folks. He's not that overweight. They're full of crapola when they say he's bloated, the bloated orange man. I see that all over the place. So if it's justice reform you want, then the Open Society Foundation is the place to go because it works to redress abuses of power that undermine democratic practices and rights and to secure equal rights and recognition in law and policy for groups facing entrenched discrimination and prejudice. Folks, we need to find out where this entrenched discrimination is. Is it in the jail system where we have mass incarceration? See, if we have mass incarceration, then we must have mass criminalization, don't we? So there's the lie. There lies the lie. Do we have mass crime or we don't have mass crime? But we certainly have mass incarceration. So if we get rid of mass incarceration, we have less crime because then it wouldn't be reported. If you're arrested in New York City, you can get out of jail in 3 seconds. And so like the illegals that beat up the cops, they split. So they weren't incarcerated. Was there a crime? No, you can't record the crime. So it was less crime after they beat up the cops. That crime was not reported. I think they got 2 guys stayed. The other 3 gone. So there's less crime. Thank goodness. So the justice reform that's going on because of Open Society Foundation, George Soros, and the Brennan Center for Justice is working, right? Because crime's going down, the Democrats say. Supporting democratic freedoms, they go on. They support groups that speak out against the erosion of freedoms and those who resist repression both at home and in exile. So the only freedom I see that's being eroded is the freedom to abort. What other freedoms don't we have? So you can't abort in most states in the country as of this moment. So I guess they got a point there. Bringing war criminals to justice, well, they should. Fighting racism and exclusion and the structural racism that we're still trying to find. They fight the structural racism. Okay. Finally, in the top 5, promoting feminist political power. That's important. OSF supports groups pursuing an intersectional feminist agenda, meaning that it crosses over with race. So they prefer black females to any other demographic, including advancing reproductive justice. There you go. Reproductive justice is the abortion question and countering attacks on sexual and reproductive health rights. So the Open Society is doing a great job. George Soros contributing to the DAs, and the prosecutors all around the country who are calling out the racial system, the systemic racism. You get it so far? I don't either. Heather McDonald spoke at the Institute of those men, for she's from the Manhattan Institute. There's something good going on in Manhattan. She spoke at the Hillsdale College Annex over in Naples, Florida. This was just in February. So this struck me. This struck me as the antithesis of what the Open Society, George Soros' Open Society, the John Brennan Foundation, the John Brennan Center, and what's going on at Center Street in Manhattan today, right now. This is called the disparate impact thinking is destroying our civilization. Heather McDonald. She says, the most consequential falsehood in American public policy today is the idea that any racial disparity in any institution is by definition the result of racial discrimination. To understand that most of the lefties call Trump racist, we're still trying to find out why that is. They reference Charlottesville and, I don't know, George Floyd. I don't know. We don't know where they get it. We don't know. If Cancer Lab Research, for example, does not have 13% black oncologists, Heather continues, the black share of the national population, 13%, is by definition a racist lab that discriminates against competitively qualified black oncologists. If an airline company doesn't have 13% black pilots, it's by definition a racist airline company that discriminates against competitively qualified black pilots. You see where we're going with this, Grapefruiters? Because if there's systemic racism, we got to find out. And this is what it is. And if a prison population contains more than 13% black prisoners, our law enforcement system is racist. Are you beginning to see the light? The claim that racial disparities are proof of racial discrimination has been percolating in academia and the media for a long time. After the George Floyd race riots of 2020, however, it was adopted by America's most elite institutions, from big law, big business, to big finance. And I would put in big education. It's in the institutions. Why do you think these pro-Palestinian people are out there in the middle of Columbia University making fools of themselves, getting kicked out of college because they believe that it's the institution is racist because they're doing business with people who are supporting Israel, if you can connect all those dots. So many thought that STEM, the fields of science, technology, Heather continues, engineering and mathematics, would escape the diversity sledgehammer. No, they were wrong. The AMA, the American Medical Association, today insists that medicine is characterized by white supremacy. Let me say that again. The AMA is writing that medicine is characterized by white supremacy. So Nature magazine, we've been through Nature magazine before, declares that science manifests one of, quote, humankind's worst excesses, racism. Let me say it again. Nature magazine declares that science manifests one of humankind's worst excesses, racism. The Smithsonian Institution announces that emphasis on the scientific method and an interest in cause and effect relationships are part of totalitarian whiteness. So I could see it's pretty easy to find that we had the systemic racism here that Trump is a leader of. Trump is the grand dragon of. So he must be going down. Whatever he did, we know he's racist, and so therefore, it's not really a quadrilateral function of algebra. As a result of this falsehood, Heather continues, we are eviscerating meritocratic behavioral standards. And of course, let me stop. Totalitarian whiteness. Unbelievable. The Smithsonian Institute announces the emphasis on the science is racist. Science is racist. So as a result of this falsehood, we are eviscerating meritocracy and behavioral standards in accordance with what is known as disparate impact analysis. This is what Heather's calling it. Disparate impact. In other words, unequal impact of our society, mostly landing, of course, on poor black people. Consider medicine. Step one of the medical licensing exam taken during or after the second year of medical school tests medical students' knowledge of anatomy, physiology, pathology. On average, black students score lower on the grading curve, making it harder for them to land their preferred residencies. Step one, in other words, has a disparate impact on black medical students. The solution implemented last year was to eliminate the step one grading disparity by instituting a pass-fail system. Truth be told, I had a pass-fail system when I went to college in Berkeley. That saved my butt sometimes. Yeah, pass-fail, not ABCD. Hospitals choosing residents can no longer distinguish between high and low-achieving students, and that is precisely the point. There is no high, there is no low. It's either pass or fail. Would you rather have an A-plus airline pilot or a C-plus airline pilot? How about A-plus surgeon or a C-plus surgeon working on your liver? The average medical college achievement test, the MCAT, score for black applicants is standard deviation below the average score for white applicants. So some medical schools have waived the submission of the test. All the scores are gone for black applicants. The tests were already redesigned. This is medical school, folks. The tests were already redesigned to try to eliminate the disparity. A quarter of the questions now focus on social issues and psychology. The medical school curriculum is being revised to offer more classes in white privilege and focus less on clinical practice. Do you see the connection here? This is the systemic racism, but I believe it's in reverse. This is reverse racism. The medical school curriculum is being revised to offer more classes in white privilege and focus less on clinical practice. This is where we're going. Heads of medical schools and chairmen of departments like pediatric surgery are being selected on the basis of identity, not of knowledge. The MCAT scores. It's equal to law school, too. I think she gets into that. Standards are falling in the legal. Here we go. Standards are falling in the legal profession, which came up with a disparate impact concept in the first place. Upon taking office in 2021, President Biden announced that he would no longer submit his judicial nominees to the American Bar Association for the preliminary rating. Why? According to a member of the White House counsel's office, allowing the ABA to vet candidates would be incompatible with, quote, the diversification of the judiciary. This claim was dubious, Heather McDonald says. By the way, you can see the result. We have Letitia James. We have Alvin Bragg. We have Alvin Bragg and the James Gang trying to fry who we think should be president. How about the recent Obama boys and girls? How about Holder? How about Rice, Susan Rice? How about Loretta Lynn? How about Fannie Willis? Hakeem Jeffries? Are these people that got the pass instead of a grade? Not only the ABA, but the state bar. State bar associations are also busy watering down standards to eliminate disparate impact. This is now, we went from surgeons and maybe airline pilots, to now the people who you see at the Trump trial. State bar associations are also busy watering down standards to eliminate disparate impact. In 2020, California lowered the pass score on its bar exam because black applicants were disproportionately failing. What does that mean, disproportionately? Should they fail the same exact rate as their population in the United States, 13? So 13% of the population should all be passing. What's the rate of failure of the California bar? I know it's pretty high, actually. It's more than 50%. More than 50%. Only 5% of black law school graduates passed the California bar on their first try in February 2020, compared to 52%. There it is. 52% of white law school graduates and 42% of Asian law school graduates. Wow, so the white kids they passed it at a higher rate than the Asians, 52 to 42. The lack of proportional representation among California's attorneys was held to be proof of a discriminatory credentialed ceiling. So we see why there aren't that many black lawyers out there. Well, no, they're coming. They're coming because the pressure to eliminate the law school admission test, LSAT, remember, the medical school's requirement for law school admissions is growing because it, too, is a disparate impact. As a single mother told an ABA panel, I would hate to give up my dream of becoming a lawyer just due to not being able to successfully handling this test. It's a shame that you have to have a test to show somebody that you can actually be a lawyer. Matter of fact, HBCUs, I'd like to see the percentage of people passing the bars from historically black colleges and universities. I wonder what that percentage is. It's interesting, too, that the Lawyers Guild is a real communist group of lawyers. They are way left of the ABA, which is left to begin with. As a matter of fact, my friend, I think I've told you this, Greg Bruderson, a friend of mine is a defense attorney out in Ventura County. So his license plate, he buys all this. He's part of this. He went to Cal with me. His license plate reads NVRGLTY. What's that spell? Never guilty. He believes that the people he represents are never guilty. So if we go to, how about the commerce section of our lives? Walgreens, CVS, and Target would rather close down entire stores and deprive their elderly customers of access to their medications than confront shoplifters and hand them over to the law. This is why we don't have mass incarceration. You can have white people go in and knock on the door and say, hey, can I buy some razor blades? And we'll unchain them in a few minutes, sir. So because doing so would disproportionately yield black shoplifters. This is Heather McDonald, as the viral looting videos attest. Macy's flagship store in New York City was sued several years ago because most of the people its employees stopped for shoplifting were black. They closed the flagship store. No, they wouldn't close. No, they were sued. The only allowable explanation for the fact was that Macy's was racist. That's why most of the people shoplifting were black, because Macy's was racist. Are you following this? It was not permissible to argue that Macy's arrests mirrored the shoplifting population. Okay, just a little more. Even colorblind technology is racist. Speeding and red light cameras disproportionately identify black drivers as traffic scofflaws. They scoff at the laws. The solution to such disparate impact is the same as we saw with the medical license exam. Throw out the cameras. Stop the test. Throw out the cameras. So the result of this deprosecution and depolicing has been widespread urban anarchy, and in 2020, the largest one-year spike in homicide in this nation's history. Now, despite what you're listening to on CNN, this is Heather McDonald. These are the facts. These are FBI stats. These are law enforcement stats. City-by-city stats. Thousands more black lives have been lost to drive-by shootings. Dozens of black children have been fatally gunned down in their beds, in their front yards, and in their parents' cars. No one says their names because their assailants were not police officers or white supremacists. They were other blacks. So as we go through most of these facts from Heather McDonald, we can see that there's an imbalance. An imbalance in prosecution, in consequences. So if there's a systemic of racism, there's a systemic racism, it's not being addressed by the numbers moving. Actual people know the crimes are there. She says, we can argue about why these disparities exist and how to close them, something that policymakers and philanthropists have been trying to do for decades. But in light of these skill gaps, it is irrational to expect 13% black representation on a medical school faculty or among a law firm's partners under meritocratic standards, standards of merit. At present, you can have proportional diversity or you can have meritocracy. You cannot have both. So it goes on for just claiming the differences in police interactions with black juveniles. In the post-George Floyd era, black juveniles are shot at 100 times the rate of white juveniles. Again, this is Heather McDonald's, this is her speech to the Heritage Center in Naples, Florida. Blacks between the ages of 10 and 24 are killed in a drive-by shootings at nearly 25 times the rate of whites in the same age. Dozens of blacks are murdered every day, more than all white and Hispanic homicide victims combined. Let me say that again. Dozens of blacks are murdered every day, more than all white and Hispanic homicide victims combined, even though blacks are just 13% of the population. Again, 13%. The country turns its eyes away. Who's killing these black victims? Not the police, not whites, but other blacks. As for interracial violence, blacks are greater a threat to whites than whites are to blacks. Tell this to your Democrat friends, people. Blacks commit 85% of all non-lethal interracial violence between blacks and whites. A black person is 35 times more likely to commit an act of non-lethal violence, that's not killing, against a white person than vice versa. Let me say it again. A black person is 35 times more likely to commit an act of non-lethal violence against a white person than vice versa. This probably includes the police. Yet the national narrative insists on the opposite idea, and too many dutifully play along. These crime disparities mean that the police cannot restore law and order in the neighborhoods where innocent people are most being victimized without having a disparate impact on black criminals. You need to have a disparate impact on black criminals if there's a disparate number of crimes. So the political establishment has decided not to restore law and order at all. Heather McDonald. So here is our champion. Our champions now, the people who are persecuting, prosecuting Trump, are standing in front of us saying that they are impartial and they want to correct systemic racism. Having been funded by Soros and Brennan's Center for Justice and the Democratic Party. So Letitia James, This comes from, this is the Boston Broadside. It's a right-wing group up in Boston. Very nicely done. Letitia James is a Soros-funded Democrat journal. Attorney General, let me just read these quotes from Letitia James in case you think there's not fairness at Trump's trial in Manhattan. Letitia James is a Soros-funded Democratic Attorney General. She got money from Soros to win her election as a state Attorney General of New York. George Soros provided funding for Letitia James' campaign. James also received funding from George Soros' daughter-in-law, Jennifer Soros, By the way, his son is taking over too as soon as we get Soros in 6 feet under. Letitia James made clear that getting Trump, quote, getting Trump was the motivating force behind her campaign for attorney general. In 2018 video, James stated, I'm running for attorney general because I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president when our fundamental rights are at stake. He, Trump, should be charged with obstructing justice. This is 2018 Grapefruiters. I believe that the president of the United States can be indicted for criminal offenses, and we would join with law enforcement and other attorney generals across the nation in removing this president from office. It's important that everyone understand that the days of Donald Trump are coming to an end. Do you think she devised this all on her own? Or do you think George Soros sat down and had a cup of Russian borscht with her? Letitia James announced that as attorney general, she looked forward to going into the attorney general's office every day, suing President Trump, and then going home. During her 2018 campaign, Letitia James vowed, as the next attorney general of New York, I will be a voice for the powerless and take on President Trump. This is 2018, people. You think the Center for Justice, the Brennan Center for Justice in New York, had any influence on Letitia James? Do you think George Soros gave her millions of dollars for her campaign? James admitted that her desire to take down Trump more than helping the people of New York motivated her to run for attorney general. And lastly, Grapefruiters, here's Letitia James in 2018. This campaign was never really about me or any of the candidates who ran it. It was about the people, but mostly it was about the man in the White House who can't go a day without threatening our fundamental rights. So our fundamental rights, as Heather McDonald delineates, are way different from Letitia James' fundamental rights. She says there's a disparate impact in our society, alleviating the plans and consequences of crime so that there be less mass incarceration, but it induces more crime. Stop. So let's continue with Heather's final say, the disparate impact thinking is destroying our civilization. The disparate impact of crime, which is not recorded so the Dems can say that crime is going down. She says that is more of a danger for our society. But Letitia James and her ilk and Obama and Eric Holder and Susan Rice and these people who are still running the show in Joe Biden's White House are the people who are crying systemic racism. And these are the people who are in the courts trying to put Trump behind bars. This is the same thing. The systemic racism is not systemic racism. It's systemic lawfare and social injustice. This is P. Norman Grant with the Grapefruit Agenda. By the way, sponsored by my book, 12 Short Historical Fiction Stories, good for young adults, Tales of Young Patriots. What else could it be? Tales of Young Patriots, people, get that on Amazon. This is P. Norman Grant. Squeeze in another Grapefruit Agenda whenever you can.